Welcome back to another episode of Veterans Get Podcast. Today, we've got a great show lined up for you. And I do want to throw out something real quick. If you're watching the video and it's all like pixelated and looks like a throwback to the early Nintendo, I apologize for that. It's something that my computer has started doing to me lately. My screen looks perfect, but I guess you guys might be seeing me a little choppy. But fortunately, the audio still comes through, and today's guest will also be crystal clear. So today's guest, speaking of, is Mr. Roman Roberts, and he's a podcaster and an Army veteran, and he's got a podcast called Real Talk with Roman. And the thing I love about his show, each episode is only 10 minutes long. Everybody in the world, I think, has got 10 minutes they can spare. So you guys should totally check it out. And without further ado, let's get Robert in here. Let's get Roman in here, and we'll go with it. Roman, how's it going, bud?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing? Happy to be here.
Fantastic. So, your name is officially changed to Robert, by the way.
And, don't worry, people have called me way worse things. So
there you go. So like I said, you are a podcaster, but you're also an Army veteran, and I'm super intrigued by what it is your job in the Army was. But if you would, go ahead and just tell us a little bit about your service and why you got in.
Yeah, so I joined the Army at 18 as soon as I could. I joined to get away from kind of the home life that I was in. I grew up in foster care. Grew up in some less than ideal homes, I like to say. And honestly, it was a way for me to find family and community and connection with people. And I joined the Army and I was an interrogator. So nice. I got to do that for 6 years active duty and then another 2 years as a contractor.
So what does an interrogator with the Army do?
Yeah. So really it's just this, right? Like I love this question because everyone asks it, right? And everyone has like this illusion that it's, you know, what you see on Zero Dark 30 or on, you know, 13 Hours or whatever else, right? And that it's like this crazy waterboarding, slam people through walls and stuff like that. And the truth of the matter is it's a conversation, it's communication. And some of the people who've given me some of the best information have been, you know, detainees that I've given cheeseburgers to, right? So, I mean, while there is that aspect of fear that comes, especially when you roll off of an objective in the middle of the night, right? You've got like night vision and you're kitted up and everything. Obviously, that's going to put some fear in people, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you're really just having a conversation because like anything else, right? Like the analogy that I often tell people is go up to a person you work with and just punch them in the face and then ask them a question, right? And see how that goes for you. Like, it's probably not going to go well, you know? So majority of the time, just like going up to somebody at like a level 1,000 is not a viable approach. It's not a viable way to have a conversation. And really and truly, that's what you're trying to do is have a conversation.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the waterboarding because I'm like, in my head, as you're saying that intro, that first part, I'm like, yeah, he's like this dude and you got him laid down on the table with the cloth over the face. You're pouring the water on it. Yeah. So I had a totally different conception of what it was you did.
Yeah, man. Everyone does. It is crazy the questions you get asked. I mean, you know, because everyone's like, people who aren't military ask weird questions. And I think some of the weirdest ones come to interrogators. Right. Because like, we've just done a horrible job in the media of portraying what it is and in the news. And obviously there were some bad instances, right? Like Abu Ghraib and stuff like that. Yeah. But the point being, like, they'll just, you know, just outright about it. Like, so, you know, what do people say when you punch them for the first time? And I'm like, well, what would you say if I punched you for the first time? Like, what? Like, right. That's so weird. Why would that be a question you want to know? You know, it's so. But it's actually, I think not a lot of interrogators talk about what they do. So I enjoy it. Right. I enjoy telling that piece of it because honestly, everything I learned in interrogation helped me in business, helps me in podcasting, because like I said, it really is communication. And so it's nice to have the conversation, especially on like a business scale. And I actually have conversations later this week with people where, the whole podcast will be diving into conversations and how to communicate effectively, because it really is a skill that everyone needs to have. And while we all know how, like I tell everyone, you have it inside of you to be an interrogator, there's a little science and nuance, right? Like there's things that you need to learn that make it a little more effective. Well, for me, I've already learned some of that stuff and it's helped me in business. So why not go to a person who, you know, is talking sales on a podcast or is talking, you know, how to maximize your day. Well, if you can maximize your communication, you'll maximize your day, you know, like they all roll together. So it's fun to talk about conversation. And I love the beginning question that everyone always asks, right? Like, what's it like? So what's the waterboard? Like literally I was on a podcast with Behind the Service, another veteran service-based podcast. Mm-hmm. And there were three ladies that were interviewing me. And like two of them were kind of, you know, like, oh, cool. And then this one, she was on like the top screen and she was like, so what's it like to waterboard people? Like, just like this sweet looking lady. And she just was like, so when you waterboard, I'm like, whoa, your husband might need to be a little scared right now, you know, but right. it was a super fun conversation. And I, like I said, there's always some version of that because people are really curious and it is an interesting job. And you know, there are still things that I can't talk about that I did, but a lot of it really is communication and it's super easy to talk about.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that because yes, business is all about talking to the customer, talking to the client, you know, getting to know them, get a good feel for them. And like for me, I'm recently back to being self-employed. Years ago, I had a remodeling business and, just the way things go this year, I've started doing that again. And I find honestly that my best customers are the ones that after I'm with them for a while and I talk to them for a while, I'm almost like family. And I mean, they'll invite me in to, you know, hey, you know, I know it's nothing big, but I can't reach that fucking light bulb up there. Is there any way you could do that for me? You know, that kind of thing. And you know, next thing I know, I'm remodeling their entire house. But I don't know. It's just that's the one thing I do love about doing the remodeling is getting to know the people, getting to just talk with them. Some customers are very cut and dry. All right, yeah, go fix that thing over there. I'll be over here. Holler if you need me. Okay, cool. I go in, I do my job, I get out. But then I get those other ones that are like, they just want to chat with you the whole time that you're working. And I don't know, I enjoy conversations and I get, that's one of the reasons why I started doing podcasting is I love talking with people, and which is weird because as a kid, I was very introverted. I did not like talking with people. Getting me up on a stage scared the crap out of me. And I don't know, maybe in my head as a young age, I realized I had to get out of that because in the eighth grade, I went into theater. So, you know, you're up on stage in front of all the school performing. And I continued that throughout high school. The way our school was set up, I had to, my ninth grade year, I had to do a speech where we basically just talked within the classroom. But that was a prerequisite to take theater for the next 3 years. And so I did that. And can't say that it helped me out any because I was still nervous as fuck when I talked to people outside of that. And then, God, talking to girls, forget about it. I was the whole time, but, yeah, anyways, long story short, here we are. So,
how it goes.
Yes. So, all right. So you were an interrogator. How long were you doing that?
So I did it for 6 years active duty. And then I did a 2-year stint, as a contractor.
And what possessed you to get out of the service?
So really and truly, I had just come off of a deployment. It was, you know, I had knee injuries. It was kind of one of those things where I was like, I was at that point. So at 6 years, it's kind of that number where you can either make a career, right? Or you can get out. And, you know, I'm kind of a independent, go my own way kind of person. And I don't really like being told what to do. I love the discipline and the structure that the military gave me, but I do like to kind of do things the hard way, quote unquote. And, you know, it just seemed like a good time. Everyone, you know, I was good at my job. Everyone was really helpful if I wanted to stay in, but, everyone was also really supportive of, hey, if you want to get out, right. And then it kind of seemed like deployments were dying down and I enjoyed deploying. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it was changing to more like a training and preparation and stuff like that. And so I just kind of, I felt like it was a good time for me to get out. I felt like I had gotten a lot from the military. I'd learned a lot. I'd grown a lot. And I just felt like kind of giving it a shot on my own. Now, granted, as soon as I got out, a friend of mine was like, hey, man, we need somebody to come deploy. You want to come deploy? And so then I was right back out there for 2 years. So,
so when you when you got out, what was the first job you had? Like, yeah, when you're truly out?
Like, oh, so when I truly, truly got out, transition was rough for me, right? So I would go and apply to these jobs everywhere and nobody would hire me. And mm-hmm. a little bit now, like looking back on it, it's because I couldn't sell myself to save my life because I had right. no clue, like the military hadn't taught me. So I'm sitting here saying, like, I know how to breach doors, I know how to do interrogations, and everybody's like, super awesome. I just need you to be a teller at a bank, you know. So that was kind of a weird little thing. But the first job I got was I was doing technical writing for this small little aerospace company. I say small, they're a global aerospace company. A little kind of close-knit group. And mm-hmm. so it was nice because it truthfully, like, I'll never discredit that group. They gave me the ability to transition and to kind of learn and to kind of go through some of the growing pains. And so I was doing technical writing for them for a while. And then later on, I became a quality manager in aerospace and I was running like quality systems and things like that. And then eventually jumped into like doing business consulting and things like that, where I was actually doing all of it. So the process engineering, the quality management, the safety, anything a business could need, I was helping them with. So,
all right, cool. And then what possessed you to actually start doing a podcast?
Oh man, that one's so I love this story because it's just fun. And I think you'll kind of get it too. So I think every person who starts a podcast has thought about it for a while. And I think a podcast is like a bar, right? Like everyone mm-hmm. says, I'm going to start a bar, you know? And eventually you either do or you don't. And I was on a podcast. So kind of similar to you, like I grew up being an introvert, didn't really like, so let me rephrase that. I liked talking. I didn't like having conversations with people. So you weren't going to get the real authentic me. You weren't going to see like anything crazy like that. But I loved having conversations. I loved talking. And so I did like a lot of speaking events in high school, things like that. So I've and then obviously an interrogator, right? So I've spoken in groups and in close knit, intimate circles my entire life. And so I was on LinkedIn and this lady said, you know, she had this little thing. It was like LinkedIn Leaders and it was, her name's Heather Parody. She hosts a podcast called Unconventional Leaders. Definitely, if you're listening, check it out. Mm-hmm. She did this little thing on LinkedIn for a little bit and I saw it and I was like, hey, that's kind of cool. And we kind of got to talk back and forth and she was like, well, come on. So I came on and we started talking, you know, like business growth and things like that. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that conversation, we're chatting offline and, you know, I'm talking about my foster care and growing up and this and my transition story. And she's like, man, you should come on my podcast. So like a week later, I'm on her podcast recording an episode. And that was a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little over a year ago. And so we did that. And then at the end of the podcast, she was like, seriously, why do you not have a podcast? And I was like, oh, you know, like a bar, everyone does it. I can't, you know, it's not my thing, you know. And she was like, no, seriously, you have a great voice. You're very conversational. There's a natural flow. Like, she's like, I'm not just saying this. Like, you mm-hmm. could probably do really good at a podcast. And I was like, yeah, I don't think people really would want to hear that, you know. And I was it's like, and plus I said, if, you know, if I was going to do a podcast, I'd want to just have like regular people and the occasional big names on, you know, like give everybody a chance to talk, you know. And she was like, well, okay, run with that idea and try it. And I was like, it's not going to work. And she was like, well, just ask some people. And so like, I was like, I'm going to get like a month or 2 months worth of content or something like that. Right. Like I picked this arbitrary number. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah, like I'm never going to get like 30 people to say they want to do a podcast. And so like, I put the request out on like on just LinkedIn. Cause I wasn't really on any social media sites at that point.
Right.
So just on LinkedIn. And then like overnight, like 40 people messaged me. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to do this, I guess. And so I started recording episodes, and I started as a long form. I did an actual like hour long episodes.
Yeah.
So for context, if you want to start an if you want to start a podcast and you've never edited video before, don't go for an hour plus episodes. Like it will seriously make you want to like just pull all your hair out and not do a podcast. And that's really what it did to me, is it kind of stopped me for a little bit, because it was just so much. Like I was essentially learning everything all at once, and I had no clue about it. And I'm over here like doing my regular life and stuff at the same time. So it was really overwhelming. And so I kind of like put it on the back burner for a little bit. And then I was reading an article, you know, about people's attention span, and, you know, that basically people were saying like, they wish there were people who could like relate to people faster and things like that, because attention spans are so short. And I was like, that's interesting, because, you know, when I was in interrogations, the same thing applies, right? So the faster you can get information, the better, right? Mm-hmm. So we were working how to communicate quicker, more efficiently. And so essentially I took all of that and I said, you know what? I bet I could do a podcast in 10 minutes. I bet I could give people value. I bet I could ask questions, and I bet I could give people a chance to tell their story. And so I looked at those hour long episodes and I said, okay, like what would this be if I condensed it down to 10 minutes? Like what would the main theme be? And every one of them was different, obviously, but there was always a main theme, right? Like there's a central like lynch point that everyone is in their conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did. I switched it to 10 minutes and I started saying, okay, like what's the main theme? And there's still no prep before. Like I don't tell anybody, give them anything. It starts with one question. I say, tell us your story. And so then they take off. So wherever they take off with their story is where the linchpin of the conversation goes, right? Like most people will give you an overview and then they will say, boom, like this is what they want to key in on. And so I just let people key on what they want to key in. And then we make that a 10-minute episode packed with advice to try to help people. And then I close every episode out with what's one real piece of advice you would give to anyone listening, right? So there's a takeaway, just that one extra piece, right? And really and truly, I've tried it all, right? From 30 minutes to hour plus, to almost 2 hours, to down to, you know, like obviously I tried a 5-minute episode. That one didn't air because you can't have a you can't put up between two people. You can't put enough content in 5 minutes.
Right.
It just doesn't work. Now solo, 5-minute conversations work, but 10 minutes was kind of that ideal spot. I even tried like 15 and 20, and 20 hit decent. But 10 just had the most, like kind of like you said when you were introing, and I appreciate it. Everyone can find 10 minutes. Like we say we can't, but really and truly you can. Like your drive to the supermarket is 10 minutes. Your drive home is 10 minutes. Your, you know, your downtime that you're scrolling through social media is 10 minutes. Right. So, so really and truly it does exist. And I think that to me, it was just kind of that perfect number. And then I had veterans saying like, hey man, I'm actually listening and getting good value from this because of that. And then I had people who weren't veterans saying, hey, I listened to your episode about veterans and it really kind of put like some context in it. Right. Because most people who aren't military aren't sitting down for 10 minutes and talking to a veteran, you know? So it was kind of a way to do that. And it was just, it's been really fun because it's morphed, right? Cause I had this idea that, you know, I'm only going to talk to people who, you know, have great ideas, but aren't big and aren't recognized and this and that. And it's kind of evolved into a little bit of both. Right. And the whole thing where I say like, oh, I'm not going to talk to people who aren't big. Everyone's big in their own circles. And I think that's what I realized from this is that, you know, there's people who you think their podcast is huge. But if you jump on their Instagram, they have maybe 30 more followers, you know? And so it's stuff like that, that, you know, there's just a level of everyone's big in their own circle. And so I just find people who have good stories and I try to, I call it bridging the gap. So I try to put on veterans and military and non-military guests. So the two worlds kind of are forced to collide because I have a lot of veteran listeners and I have non-veteran listeners as well. So I create a way for both groups, but predominantly more veterans, I will admit. And the goal is to essentially bridge those groups, right? So I had a lady talk about homeschool. Well, maybe it's an option that military and veteran haven't thought about for their children. You know, I have another lady coming up who's big on essential oils and natural living. you know, veterans are always looking, and military are always looking to optimize and live their best. So maybe that's something that they can connect. But it's something that I, when I was a veteran, I think a lot of veterans in general are not actively seeking out, you know what I mean? So putting it in a place where it can be there. But then also the lady who teaches homeschool in Wisconsin, she's probably not like really well versed on what military PTSD is, right? You know, yeah. So it kind of creates this way for the two to kind of bridge together. And then I had a lady who she has PTSD, but she wasn't in the military. And the two groups got to bridge and see like, hey, like we don't own the story on trauma. Mm-hmm. We don't own the story on PTSD. And a lot of people have it. And hey, maybe the two groups can come together and help each other out. And so it's been kind of interesting to see that. And again, in 10 minutes, like that to me is just phenomenal that those kind of things can happen in 10 minutes.
Yeah. I gotta say, talking about the 10 minutes, I know some of your episodes, I listen to them and you can see how it's just, it sounds like a nice, nice flow to the show. Right. And then I listened to your episode with Vincent Vargas. And I could tell that you're trying to pack as much info as you could into it. I mean, don't get me wrong, your edits were freaking amazing. The way you got the clips just like boom, 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 boom. And it was like there's hardly any downtime in the speech at all. I mean, that was like some masterful edits right there.
Yeah, that was hours. So it was literally, I was looking for microseconds. And yeah, because his episode was just packed with everything from suicide to alcoholism to just all kinds of stuff that I felt people needed to know. And not just veterans, right? Like mm-hmm. people need to know that, hey, alcohol has a strong correlation to suicide. Hey, if you want to talk responsible drinking, maybe you're talking more than do you have a DD, right? Like maybe the conversation is, can you handle that drink that's in your hand? Right. So it was, yeah, like, and that's the hard thing too, is I have some of these episodes that there's so much good content and I get in my head and I say, okay, I should definitely make this longer than 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's not going to resonate and get the listens that it should.
Right.
So I'll usually for ones like that are really good. So like the one with Vincent, his will go up soon mm-hmm. as a full scale podcast on YouTube. So people can go back and listen to all the 40 minutes if they want to. Mm-hmm. And it'll have the gaps and the pauses and things like that. But it'll be that opportunity to listen to it, you know. But yeah, it's hard sometimes because you have such great content. Like I have an episode, it's literally setting and I'm still working through editing. Mm-hmm. I had a woman who came on, she's former military, and she talked about military sexual trauma. And we talked for probably almost 2 hours. I mean, wow. Just everything. And so it's like, how do I turn 2 hours of what people need to know about military sexual trauma into 10 minutes? Like, yeah. I've created this hard niche for me that I have to stay in. Mm-hmm. But also, I know that if I can jam pack those 10 minutes, people will listen for that 10 minutes. Like I can guarantee I'll get 10 minutes. I can't guarantee I'll get 2 hours. So how can I give, and that's the way I look at every episode. How can I put the most value in 10 minutes that will help the people listening, whether it's with homeschool or natural living, or maybe it's something as deep as child trafficking and military sexual trauma, right? Like whatever the topic is, I want a person to walk away in 10 minutes and say, man, I learned a lot in that 10 minutes, and give them a starting off point if they want to continue to learn mm-hmm. or say, okay, I now have enough that I can understand, empathize, have the conversation with somebody. Like I'm not blindsided if this topic comes into my life at a future point.
Right. So, you know, they say every show has to have a main purpose, main goal. So like on this show, my main goal is to show people that there are ways to come back from the darkness. You know, there are ways to beat your demons. And it's not in the bottom of a jar of pills that the VA or Big Pharma gives you. It's not in the bottom of a bottle of alcohol. And I've actually had some pretty good musical guests on that have found ways to beat back the, you know, the pain, beat back the demons, and, you know, through music. So one of my main goals is I look for musicians, artists, writers, other podcasters that have their stories to tell, that, you know, can say, hey, you know, I lived on the streets and look at me now. Now I'm doing well for myself because I got help, or I found a creative outlet that allowed me to express myself. You know, like today's musical guest, I'm going to be playing a song by Soldier Hard. And that was him. You know, he got out of the army, and, you know, he had shit going through his head. But now, while he was in the army, he also started playing music, and all his buddies loved it. So when he got out, that's actually what he got out to do, was, hey, I'm going to get out and I'm going to become a recording artist. Everyone told him he's crazy. Well, 20 something albums later, he's still going strong. And a lot of his music talks about PTSD. I mean, not all of it, but he's got some very hard-hitting songs, if you will. But I've talked to people that, you know, this one guy, he goes by the name Ranger Sauce on Instagram. And I love telling his story because to me, it's a very profound story. One night he's sitting there with his guitar in one hand, pistol in the other, and a bottle of bottom shelf vodka in front of him. And he drunk himself stupid. And he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Tonight's the night. I'm gonna end it. But I want to play one more song. So he played his song, fucked it up. Nah, I can't go out on that. So he played it again. And all night long, he kept playing a song that, you know, he thinks now mentally, subconsciously, he purposely was screwing up so he wouldn't go out. But needless to say, he played until he passed out. He woke up the next morning. He's like, what the fuck am I doing, man? Grabbed the bottle of vodka, poured it down the sink, called his buddy, his one sober friend, said, man, I need help. So they took him to the VA. He went into a rehab program for like a week. He hasn't touched alcohol since, and that's been over a year. Another army lady that I interviewed, she got into playing music, and now she doesn't take any of the pills that the VA was trying to push on her. And those are just two examples of thousands that are out there, you know? And so that's what I'm trying to show people, is that there is another way. But that all being said, do you have like an ultimate goal for your show?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't. So kind of to your point, right? So for context, when I transitioned, super rough transition, almost lost my marriage. Right. And almost, I mean, I stepped out of my marriage. I had an affair with my wife. And then I almost blew my brains out. I was sitting in an apartment. Everything was like by myself. My whole world was kind of collapsing in on itself. And I was like, this is what I've succumbed to. Like, no. So I'm just going to go out now. And didn't happen, obviously, thankfully. But it didn't happen because I got scared. Like, I started thinking like, well, wait a minute, like, what else do I, like, what am I leaving unfinished, undone, you know? Like, what am I really going to go out on like this note with like a woman that I said I love? Like, am I going to like not try to like give her any kind of reason or make anything better or things like that? And obviously she sat on the phone with me and helped me through it when I was like at that point. And, you know, we rebuilt our marriage. We just rebuilt our life. I started going to therapy. I started going to counseling. Because I had trauma from foster care thrown on top of trauma from the military. Right.
Right.
And so, and kind of to that earlier state, trauma is trauma, right? Like, if you have it, you got to deal with it. Like, there's just no other way around it. And for me, I just, you know, this podcast has become almost therapeutic to me. I mean, I talk to guests every week and we get to have super fun conversations. And sometimes I have multiple sessions a week, you know, where I'm recording. And every one of them, I walk away learning something, but every one of them, I get more comfortable telling my story. I find a different way to make it connect with people. And so I think the ultimate journey for me, or the ultimate goal for me in my podcast, is to never stop the journey.
There you go. Because
every episode just, it speaks to me in its own way. And then I get to guest on shows, and that's a different kind of therapy for me, right? Because I can't control the questions you're going to ask me, and I don't know the route you're going to go. So it forces me to kind of think. Like, I can pregame the conversation in my head, and I do.
Right.
It's definitely a communication tip that I like to talk to people about. But point being, it hits me different than my own episodes where I talk to people. And, you know, I bring on guests. It's funny because I bring on a lot of guests that are people that I look up to or people that I learn from, especially early on. So Marquez Ogden, Anthony Trucks, Alan Stein Jr., right? Like all these people who their books I've read or, you know, their podcasts I've listened to or things like that. So they were essentially people that helped me in my darkest moments. Then I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to get them on. And then I got to set to them and A, thank them for helping me in a time of need, and B, kind of learn more from them, right? So podcasting became that great form of therapy. And it also helps me. So I'm a huge biohacker. So to the person who moved away from the pills from the VA, totally for that. I was taking pain pills for my knee, for various injuries, you know, not sleeping, things like that. And I just didn't like the person I was on them. I was groggy. I was weird. I was off. Like I was a shell of a person. And
yeah,
it sounds horrible. And I don't know. I don't mean to slam the VA, but truthfully, like there are a lot of veterans coming out saying that. You would think that something would change, right? Because there's so many alternative ways. And for myself and my family, we use very holistic food as medicine, right? Mm-hmm. So we try to take non-inflammatory foods. We try to, you know, things of that nature. We took an allergy test. What are we sensitive to? What can we eat? What can we not eat? And those things help you to fight inflammation, fight bad gut flora, right? And we know that there's a gut-brain connection, right? So all these things. So I think the things that people said were so fringe and out there 10 years ago, I mean, CBD was considered awful 10 years ago. Now you can't drive 2 miles down the street without seeing a store for it, you know? So,
yes.
So I think as veterans, as people in general, we have to stop saying, okay, well, these people say this is the only way. I think the military teaches all people, whether you're a cook, a truck driver, an interrogator, a special operator, an infantry person, a press reporter, whatever, a musician, whatever your MOS is, right? Doesn't matter. Insert any of them. You learn how to be an individual thinker. Like while you do learn discipline and conformity, you learn not to just take things at surface value. You're supposed to look, investigate, you know, put some thought into it, make sure it's the right decision for you and your team. And I think the same applies when you, especially when you become a veteran and looking at your own health, right? Like just because the VA says you need this. And again, I'm not discrediting. There are times that you need doctors and things like that. But I am saying, like, well, think about it. Like, is a sleeping pill that's synthetically made the only way that I can figure out how to get sleep? Like, is that the only way? I used to punch my wife in my sleep. I used to be like kicking and screaming, like very, very violent dreams in my sleep.
Yeah.
And honestly, I haven't done that in probably 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
Nice.
4 years, 4 years, probably 4 years. You know, I have bad days like anyone else. Like, I'm not going to say that every day is just this amazing, perfect, but, you know, I know when those triggers start to present themselves, I know how it feels. I know things I start to crave, right? Because once you start becoming in tune with your body, you start kind of realizing those things. So for me, like I just found that there were other ways. We started being natural. We started, you know, essential oils. Like people say they're, you know, people have their own opinions, whether they're good or bad. I was the same way. Like I was of the camp that really you're just going to roll an oil on me and all of a sudden I'm going to be better. That makes zero sense whatsoever. but then I did it, right? Like they were like, well, just try this one for anxiety, right? Because like I couldn't drive at certain times I couldn't drive. Like I would just like tense up. And I took that and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I actually feel pretty good. You know, like, wow, this feels good. And different things of that nature. So I think you obviously have to try what works for you. So journaling was huge for me. Now podcasting has become a vocal version of journaling, right?
Right.
So, like all of those different things and none of them were perfect. Like I tried all these different things and not all of them resonated with me. Like I do cold showers, but when I first started cold showers, I absolutely hated them, right? Like meditation, still not really my biggest strong suit. I believe in it. I try to do it. And I do it when I'm extremely, like when my tank is getting low, I know that that's a good way to recharge, but it's not a daily thing for me. Like I don't daily meditate the way people say you should meditate.
Right.
I probably do it more like by hanging out with my kid. Or, you know, editing a podcast, right? Like a simple mundane task of cutting and clipping audio is in a way meditation for me. And so I think that's what it is. Like, stop listening to this cliche version of it has to be this or it has to be that, or you have to get pills or you have to get a rating. I mean, so truthfully, I'm still in the process of figuring out my rating from the VA. When I first got out, I was like, I'm not going to go. I have both my legs. I'm still alive. Like, I have friends that didn't make it back. Like, their families, I have friends that are injured, their families and them, they deserve the money, not me.
Right.
But also I put trauma through my body. Right. So now I've started to kind of have the conversations about the VA. And I think everyone should have that conversation, if for no other reason than when you're older and things break that you don't know are going to break. You know,
yes.
That you have a place that you can go to. Now that's, again, not saying that it's the perfect end all way. Like, I'm going to do everything in my power before I have to go down to a hospital for anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, across the board. But I think it's a good option to have. And I think it's something that as a veteran, you've kind of earned, you know what I mean? Like, you've put yourself through that to have, and obviously they wouldn't have a facility to provide you medical services if there wasn't a reason you would need it, you know,
like
you don't just have something setting for no reason. Like,
yeah.
And we've seen the research from chemical agents that we didn't know existed to whatever else, right? Like, they all still exist. But yeah, man, I think it's a personal journey. Like, for me, I jumped around. I tried all the different kinds of things. I still drink, but I drink very limited. I actually, the first time I had a beer in, oh man, at least like 6 months was this a couple of days ago. My kid was out with a couple other kids and their families, and they were all like carving pumpkins in our front yard.
Right.
And, one of my neighbors came outside and we were talking, and he's a veteran too. And he was like, "Hey man, I'll take a beer." And I was like, he was like, "But I'll only take one if you're drinking." And I was like, "Yeah, sure. You know, I haven't had one in a while. I could go for one." And so, but honestly, I drank like 4 or 5 sips. Like, I didn't even finish the whole can. You know what I mean? It was like, not because beer is bad, right? Like, I don't care if you drink. I really don't. Like, drink or don't drink, but be in the right headspace to drink and realize how it makes you feel. So for me, beer has wheat and I have a gluten sensitivity. So for me, it's not even that I don't like beer. Like, there are some really great tasting beers, and there are beers that are not made with wheat that I actually like to drink and stuff like that. And there are still certain beers that I will drink. Right. But point being is, I know how it makes me feel. Like, I know that the inflammation will start to set in, and then I'm like, is this really worth it for me? Right.
Right.
So I put it through that lens. And once I do that, most of the time it kind of goes, nope. And most of my beers become used for cooking, right? Like, I love to barbecue. I love to make chili, things like that. So really and truly, that's what it goes for. My wife and I might have a glass of wine outside every now and then. I'll never stop drinking bourbon and scotch. They're just really good. But I don't drink whole bottles anymore. I definitely, like I said, it's been a long time since I've sat down and had a scotch or bourbon, but
yeah.
If I do, I mean, I'll set a glass and I'll read outside, but I got out of that place where everything had to be connected to drinking. Like, to memorialize my friends, I had to drink.
Yeah.
To prove I was a man, I had to drink. Like, I think kind of the biggest thing you can prove, man or woman, like, just as an individual, right? The biggest thing you can prove is that I don't need something else to feel emotion. Like, I can feel it independently. I don't need marijuana. I don't need alcohol. I don't need to like feel it, like be okay with it and be able to like take it and kind of take it in and absorb it. And so once I started doing that, I mean, everything changed. Like, my relationships changed, my communication changed. You know, there's like studies about alcohol in the brain, you know, foods in the brain, right? So we stopped eating processed food. We took our microwave out of our kitchen. Like, I know I'm saying things and people are like, whoa, that's totally fringe and crazy, right? I'm not telling you to go throw your microwave out. I mean, I think you should, but I don't care. I made the decision for my family. And I think that's also what it is too, right? The other unintended consequence of all these things, when you start finding those ulterior methods that work for you in healing, all of a sudden you start empowering yourself. So you start kind of saying like, I don't care. Like, Chad, I don't care if you have a microwave in your house. I don't care if you drink. I don't care if you don't. I don't, and I'm okay with it. You know, like, whatever it is, you know, you just get to that place where you're kind of accepting of it. And so, like, the big hot button topic right now would be vaccinations, right?
Yes.
So I'm very anti, well, we're X vaccine. Anti is not the right word. We're X. We used to vaccinate. We no longer do. My son had an injury. We were able to, and I took a, I took my first detox bath, threw up like crazy, right? Like I probably had every shot known to man in the military. And we just realized that there were a lot of things. Like I would just challenge anybody to think, if you're a person who's like natural or healthy living, right? You support healthy living, right? And you say, hey, you know, like, I'm not going to drink soda because it's got red 40 and phosphoric acid and whatever else, right? Like I'll insert all the like scientific named items, anything that's not natural to include naturally occurring flavors. Because if you look up what naturally occurring flavors are, it's really something that's a little bit natural with a lot of like synthesized. So anyways, that's a little extra freebie, right? So, but point being is that, you know, the things inside of vaccines, none of them seemed really healthy to us. You know, and you can go down the route of, you know, aborted cells and animal cells and things like that. Like, I don't really see the purpose of injecting dead anything into my body. It doesn't seem logical, right? Like, why would I put something dead in a living body? So for me, that was kind of a, like a weird little, that was kind of a moment where we're like, whoa, like that's not right. Right. And so we kind of like step back from it and people will be like, no, like that's great. You should. Whatever, man. Like, I don't want to. Like, it's my choice not to. And so then you kind of get empowered, right? And once you get empowered, all of a sudden you get like this kind of mental clarity and you start realizing, like, you know what? Like, all of these things that people say, maybe quote unquote, don't really, that I think quote unquote matter, maybe really don't, you know? And so it becomes kind of independent. Like, okay. Let people find their own journey. And no one's journey is the same, right? Like, Vincent, you know, he came on Rocco, right? He's completely like, he doesn't drink. Sean Ambrose, who came on before that, right? He's never touched alcohol in his life, right? Then I have another guy who I interviewed him, and you know, he does whiskey drinking events where him and other veterans get together and they drink, but he forces real conversations before they get to like taste the whiskeys and stuff like that. So like everyone has their own different way of healing. And I'm not going to say that alcohol can't be healing. I'm going to say there's a lot of research that links it to like suicide ideation and things like that. But I can also see controlled environment, if it makes you feel more comfortable, if it helps you open up the first time, whatever, right? Yes. Like I can see them, and I'm not going to detract people from going down that route. I don't smoke a lot of cigars. I still like them. I used to smoke a lot, but there's people who do cigar clubs. You know, there's these things where people can connect through that. So I think whatever it is, right? Like, you just make the decisions that are best for you, whether it's, you know, no microwave or having a microwave, processed food or non-processed food. Like this journey for my wife and I and our son, like it didn't start with, like, we didn't just say, okay, like now everything is out. We took it a step at a time and we tried it. And some things we were like, yeah, no, like to this day, I'm not eating liver. Like it's not happening. Like, I know it's super good for you and it's got all these great things and people are like, if you dry it out, it tastes like beef jerky. It does not taste like beef jerky. Like, I don't care what you say. It doesn't taste like beef jerky. It's gross.
I love liver and onions. Ooh. Make a nice white country gravy with it.
No,
I don't think I could do it if you dried it out though. That,
It doesn't. It's not. Nope. Nope.
Yeah.
Just nope. Like, no. but at the end of the day, like whatever gets you through, right? Like I used to drink a lot of coffee. I still drink coffee, but I drink a lot less and I drink more teas, right? I found that teas helped me calm down. I could have a tea for different things, right? If I'm starting to feel anxious, there's a tea for that. You know? So it's really, the truth of the matter is it's a connection to your body. Stop letting the doctor be the person who understands your body, because they don't. They're going to come to you and they're going to say, hey, what are you feeling? What's wrong with you? How do you feel? How does this feel? How does that feel?
Hey, we got a pill for that.
Yeah. So another part of me says, you know, just good business. Why not cut out the middleman? If I know what my body feels and he's going to ask me, what do you feel? Well, maybe I kind of preempt that and go, what am I feeling right now? I'm feeling angry. What's making me feel angry? Okay. Well, I'm feeling angry because all of these things aren't working right. Why are they not working right? Well, I don't know, but now like I'm frazzled and I'm like that. So now I know that it's okay. It's not that this is broken. It's that I can't, like, I'm having trouble processing that it's broken. Okay. So how can I process? Maybe I can sit down and relax. Maybe I can put on some music, right? Like whatever it is. Cause I have another friend, he loves rock music is how he meditates. Like, and there's other people who like, you can't meditate unless it's classical music. You know, like, who cares? If it works like, for you, it works.
Like for me, I love listening to podcasts when I'm driving, but if I'm listening to it while I'm working, I work so much slower. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
But when I'm sitting at the computer, if I have music playing, or if I'm, you know, at a customer's doing some work at their house, music helps me to, it helps to focus my mind, because if it's totally quiet in there, my mind starts like drifting and goes into rabbit holes that should not even exist in all of the universe. And yeah, so if I'm driving, podcast. If I'm working or doing anything else, music. What sucks though is I'm sitting here, this is actually the living room, and so I'm sitting here on the computer, I'm trying to get stuff done, I've got the headphones in, my wife's sitting on the couch right next to me, and she just starts talking to me, and I randomly will look over and I'll see her mouth moving, and I'm like, what? And then she realizes I did not hear a damn thing she said for the last 5 minutes, right. Which, you know, for some marriages, hey, if that helps you, go for it. But my wife and I, we like to talk.
Yeah. And everyone's got their thing, right? Like, I'm not going to detract from anybody's thing. Like, so sports, not my thing. I don't really like watching sports. I don't like doing it. There are some people that, you know, like sitting down with friends and watching sports and, you know, yelling for their team, that helps them. That gets them across. Yeah. That's fine. But I think the thing is especially in the veteran community, we've become so attached to the VA telling us what we need. And I think now you see veterans kind of trying to break that stigma. You know, like I interviewed a guy, you know, Sean Major, Major CBD on Instagram. He is doing like a lot of things in the CBD industry, trying to get veterans more connected and in tune with that, but also getting them to a space where they're more healthy. And, you know, maybe CBD is not the long-term need for them. You know, yeah. Rocco with his veteran service is trying to get to a place where, you know, veterans don't need alcohol. Maybe like, you know, every place to go to isn't a VA or an American Legion or a place that, you know, just has a long bar across it. You know,
yeah,
maybe there's other ways. So, and I think all of them have their place, just like there are people who love the VA. There are people who go, or the VFW. There are people who love, you know, to go sit at bars with their friends. And yeah, like, all of them have their place, but I guess you individually have to figure out what that is and stop being peer directed, right? Like,
yeah,
because military culture says we have to be drinkers. Military culture says we don't talk about our emotions. Military culture says this and that. Like, fuck culture. Be you. Like,
yeah.
And that was kind of one of the cool things about Rocco. I mean, he's tattooed, he plays a biker gangster in a TV show, like, you know, like all this crazy stuff. And he's like, dude, I cried like a little bitch during 5 feet apart. Like when you think about it like that, like here's this dude who doesn't have to portray himself in that way. Like everybody thinks he's a badass.
Yeah.
Like no one's going to not, you know, like nobody would immediately go, I bet you he cries during movies. You know, like nobody's going to think that, you know, or if they do, it's going to be a joke, you know, like, oh, he cries during Predator, you know, or you know what I mean? Like it's going to be something like that. But he's like, no, I feel every emotion. And one of the things he said really stuck with me. He said, you know why I feel every emotion? Because I went to war and war showed me every emotion in the fucking book. And yeah, when you really think about it like that, that's the truth of it. As veterans, we've seen it all. We felt it all. Active duty military, you've seen it all. You felt it all. And really and truly, like, you can be the judge of what's best for you. And really and truly, you probably should be, right? Like, you know, within reason, of course. And so why not take that moment? And honestly, I just tell everybody, like, try it, right? Like, you don't have to be so I have a buddy of mine, he's not military, but he works out a lot. And he was like, and we were talking essential oils and he tried it and he liked it. Now he liked the ones for like muscle therapy and stuff like that. He doesn't like the ones rolling in a diffuser all day long. Right. He doesn't like that. He didn't like the way that it was. Whatever, like that's fine, but he liked it for working out. So find the rhythm that works for you. You're not going to be a level 10 on everything like everyone else. You're not going to be anti everything, you know, like there's a middle ground for everything. And I think we lose sight of that. And I think culture doesn't really help, right? The media, any of that, because they put you in this kind of, you're either for or against, like there's really no true middle ground anymore. But really and truly, like, celebrate the middle ground, find your middle ground, you know? Maybe for you, it isn't getting rid of the microwave, but maybe it's saying like, you know what? I'm going to try to look for healthier ingredients in the things that I put in my microwave, whatever, right? Like I don't care, but you're doing yourself a disservice if you just depend on the VA or you just listen to a podcast and try to mimic what every person is doing. Mm-hmm. Obviously take the notes to get the idea, but figure out yourself. Like maybe journaling is the thing for you, but maybe it is video. Maybe you hop on Instagram every day and do like a 5-minute live, and that's your therapy for the day, you know, or your journaling for the day. You kind of spit it out. Whatever. Maybe you write raps. Maybe you write songs. Maybe you draw pictures. I don't know. Like, it's different for everybody. I couldn't draw to save my life.
Right.
My only rapping experience was when I tried to rap to a girl in high school, and that was a horrible experience.
So, oh God.
So yeah. Like, those are not my forte. I can't dance. Like, my son has my dancing skills, so I feel horrible for the woman he marries one day. But I know what I can't do, but I also know what I can do. I can talk, I can write, I'm able to have conversation. And so I try to focus on the things that I can do and the things that I know can help me. And I think it's kind of the same for everybody. Like, you have to do that.
Now, here's a question for you. Would you say it's safe to say you know what you're good at because you at least tried it?
Yes. Oh yeah, definitely.
It's because it's funny. My wife and I'm one of those people that I'll eat. I like to tell her, and I borrowed this line, I think it was off Armageddon, but I'll tell her, you know, I'll eat the ass of a dead rhinoceros. I don't care. Just pick a place and let's go eat. Because she is one of those typical women that you always hear the jokes about of, hey, where do you want to go to eat? Oh, anywhere. Just pick something. All right. How about here? No. How about here? No. How about here? No, I'm just not feeling that food. Then what the hell is it that you want? You know? And she'll sit there on Yelp for like an hour scrolling through restaurants, looking at the pictures, looking at the whatever, at the menus and all that. And it's like, oh my God, there's 10 places like right down the road. Let's just go pick one of those. Funny thing about that, there's a restaurant literally 5 minutes that way down the road that her and her whole family, they've lived here for like 30 years. They have never tried that restaurant. Every time we drive by it, oh man, we need to go try that place one day. What the hell, man? It's right there. But anyway, so yeah. So, you know, my wife will ask, well, how do you know how to do this? How do you know, like, podcasting? I just jumped in both feet, said, fuck it, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
And this is technically my second show. My first show is still out there, as far as I'm aware, called Reclaimed American. And when I started that show, I thought I was going to do like this handyman podcast thing, right? And the concept was, you know how you call your dad and you're like, hey, or even one of your buddies, it's like, hey man, how do I do this? Oh man, you just do this, you know, and they can talk you through it on the phone. So that was kind of my concept with the Reclaimed American show.
Right.
I quickly realized that was total bullshit. It wasn't going to work. So I switched up to, I don't want to call it self-help kind of shit, but it kind of went that route for about 5 episodes. Now I wasn't feeling that either. Then I realized, you know what? I really need to start interviewing people. And so I started doing interviews. And I liked how that was progressing. And then I kind of honed in on what direction with interviews I wanted to go, who I wanted to talk to. So by like the last episode that I did there, I had my focus, my direction. And then I quit for about 3 months. And then I relaunched as Veterans Unite. Yeah. And that's been my main focus ever since. And so I'm loving it. I like the direction I'm going. But ultimately, it's like, just try it. If you don't like it, don't do it again.
Well, it's also the thing that with 10-minute conversations, right? And I encourage people to do this, whether it's at a bar, at a restaurant, at when a plane is landing. I know we're not flying as much anymore, but when a plane is landing, you're in an Uber, whatever, right? Like that last 10 minutes, try to have a conversation with somebody, see what happens, right? Like, you're either going to find out that you enjoy the conversation, you're going to learn something, or you're going to find out that you didn't enjoy the conversation, you don't like the topic, and you now know more about what you don't like. So no matter how it goes, you learn. So that's kind of my drive with conversation and the way that I always tell people you want to get better at communicating, here's how. Like, but it's the same with anything, right? Like, try an essential oil. If you like it, cool. If you don't, okay, right? Like, try whatever. Try journaling, right? Like, when I first liked journaling, I didn't like it at first. I didn't like having to write out and have to see again what I had said. So honestly, now I write in journals and then I like throw them off to the side. Like, I keep them just because sometimes it's nice to go back and look at, but majority of the time I don't ever reread them. But it gets all of it out on paper. And so just try it. Like, some people like to reread their journal every month. Like, okay, I could, that's not me. Like, I don't want to see me in that phase, but okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever it is. So just give it a shot, you know, and what are you out? Like, nothing is really, obviously if you're doing like dangerous things, right? Like that could be dangerous, but for the most part, like the things that are going to help you are not going to put you in a bad situation. And if you try it, you're going to walk away like, oh, okay. Like, so another perfect example, I made fire cider. It's like this, like health, it's like a tonic kind of thing. It's got horseradish, garlic, pepper, apple cider vinegar, all kinds of different things, right? It's basically like an anti-inflammatory, helps during like the fall season to combat like the cold and flu and stuff like that. We've made it for a while. I love it. I think it tastes, it's got like this weird little kick. It makes my whole body kind of go, yeah, you know, I like it. My wife does not like it, you know?
Right.
But she likes elderberry. I think elderberry is super sweet, right? So it's kind of that same thing. Like, every one of us, we're more salty or sweet inclined or whatever else, right? Like beef or chicken, like we all have our preferences. So why would we think that wouldn't exist inside of conversations, inside of what we're going to look for naturally holistic to help us, what we're going to look for just in life, right? Like, whatever it is, we pride individuality and being unique. But then when it comes to veterans kind of stepping out and being that unique person, we kind of like shoot ourselves in our own foot, you know, like we're like, no, we can't, we have to live up to this veteran image. Well, what happened to being like unique? Like, you fought so long for everyone to have the freedom to do something, do it yourself now. Like, be the podcast and try four different things that don't work. You know, like I told a buddy of mine the other day, he makes those little like flags out of wood, you know, whether the Texas flag or the US flag or whatever. And they're super nice. And he's like, yeah, man. But you know, a lot of people post them up and I'm like, who cares, man? Like, you're different. Like, you're just inherently different. Like, you are a different person than every other company that's doing it. Well, I don't know, man. I do. Like, your name's this and their name's that. Like, you're different.
Yeah.
So give it a shot. He's like, And now he posted up. He's on his first, like, he made his Instagram page. He's got like his first three posts up or whatever. But like, that's how it starts. Like, nothing ever starts. Like, I don't know. We see these snapshots on Instagram or on social and we think, like, all these podcasts are huge and this and that, but every person started with one listener, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it all started from somewhere, you know, the biohacker who, you know, Ben Greenfield, huge biohacker. I guarantee you, he started by trying one thing and then he tried another thing. And then he tried it like, because that's how anything happens. It snowballs. You try and you try and you learn and you grow and you adapt and you change and you say, oh, you know what? Eggs weren't bad. And they do help your growth. And you know, like whatever it is, whether it's fitness or podcasting or writing a book or whatever. So yeah, we just have to get out there and stop being uncomfortable or stop being afraid of being uncomfortable, I think is a better way to say it.
There you go. Actually, I love that. And I think that'll be a good spot to transition towards the end of the show here. And before we go though, I do want to make sure that you get all your social media links out there. So if someone wanted to find you, find your podcast, where can they go?
Super easy. We're everywhere that podcasts are. You can even go up to your Alexa and say, Alexa, play, or Google Play, whatever. Say, play Real Talk with Roman and it'll play it. We're on all the podcasting, Spotify, Apple, all of that. Then also Instagram at Real Talk with Roman, Facebook at Real Talk with Roman, LinkedIn, Roman Roberts, just look me up. I'm there. Or you can look at the hashtag Real Talk with Roman, like literally everything you can find me with Real Talk with Roman, it'll show up.
There you go. Awesome. Now I do have a final question for you. And I did not tell you about this question because I like this to be kind of a surprise, but is there a question I haven't asked you, but should have?
Ooh, Ooh, that's a good one.
I stole this from a business podcast of all things. Guy's name is Kim Barrett, I think it is, and he's an Australian dude. And I started listening to his podcast a while back, and I'll go through seasons where I listen to a certain type of podcast, then I delete all that and go to something else. But that was one of the questions he asked. And yeah, so is there a question I haven't asked you but should have?
You know, honestly, I don't think so. The only thing I would say is I think the only other piece would be more like the emotional. We talked mm-hmm. a lot about like the tools for how to do it, but we didn't talk a lot about like the emotional state and things like that. So I think a quick 30-second reel for that is, you know, you're going to feel a lot of harsh emotions, especially when you first transition out, because a part of you left. And for a lot of people in the military, your identity is tied to the military. So I think, you really have to get okay with separating your identity from what you're doing to who you are, right? Because what you're doing is always going to change. You're not always going to be a soldier in the military. You're not always going to be working at X company or doing Y thing, right? Like that's always going to shift. Mm-hmm. So you have to tie your identity to who you are. Are you a person who's service driven? Are you a person who's a creative? Are you whatever it is, right? So pick that tie and emotionally pull from that tie. Don't put all your emotion and your tie into what you do. Put it into who you are. So that's usually that would be probably the only thing that we didn't talk about. That
there you go. All right. Well, hey, Roman, I appreciate you coming on. I've had a fantastic time talking with you. And honestly, I feel like we could easily go like another hour on this, just because I love the direction of the conversation. But for today's Biden, what's that?
I was pulling a Pence. I had a fly jump on my head.
So, but I think what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and call this episode a wrap, and we're going to lead this out with a song by Soldier Hard. And anyone that's listened to my episodes for a time, Soldier Hard is one of my favorite, let's call him a hip hop artist, army veteran. He makes music about real shit, and most of his music actually tells a story about stuff. And some of his songs are serious, some of his songs are fun. And today we're going to listen to a fun song because, fuck it, it's Tuesday morning and I want fun. So
this was a fun conversation.
Well, I appreciate that. So we're going to finish up a fun conversation with a fun song. So this is Soldier Hard, Land, Sea, and Air.
Locked and loaded, all the weapons, our whole status is all green. On team, why you think they calling us the army? Tanks fired up, 7.2 tons of battle ready. Cav scouts in the infantry riding with me. 82nd Airborne soldiers in the sky. Aerosol coming through on helicopters flying by. Strikers on the road, EOD detonating. Fill artillery, got a 6, yeah, there's no escaping. Rangers lead the way, SF and Delta Force. Set a standard high, take up our bodies like a divorce. Make them discombobulated like they off course. All on army green, yeah, like a golf course. Travel anywhere, even with no passports. 18 months can equal just one tour. It's what we scream when we want more. Finish war, then come home to an encore. Got the boots laced up, complete the mission by any means. Fully ready, one fight, yeah, we one team. Fight on land, in the air, or on the sea. Fight on land, in the air, or on the sea. Boots laced up, complete the mission by any means. Fully ready, one fight, yeah, we one team. Fight on land, in the air, or on the sea. Fight on land, in the air, or on the sea.
Air Force stuff, raise the morale. Set examples for the troops that I'm passing the torch down to. Sky riding, ain't talking no sky riding. This air superiority, nukes in the sky flying. Time to pull the classroom over your eyes, open and wide. Offensive operations known to destroy and neutralize. Protect the enemy, any disrespect in my soil. Degree of dominance are prominent. Start checking the oil. We a smooth machine, lose the dream. See defensive stops, sets of cops, special ops, explosive drop, blew the scene. Do we conduct rapid global infiltration? Precision striking rapidly with intel integrated. 1947, we were created, no longer Air Corps. 18th of September's a bird, they'll call us airborne. Insurgents wanna call these terrorist threats. It's not a bird, but a plane, we in the air of protect. We got the boots laced up, complete the mission by any means. Fully ready, one fight, yeah, we one team. Fight on land and air, on the sea. Fight on land and air, on the sea. Boots laced up, complete the mission by any means. Motion like a squid in the ocean. Landing birds don't disturb. See the 60 approaching. Camel back with the potion. LAJ, it be flowing. Don't forget about the binos that you know we'll be scoping. Got my boots laced up. At attention straight up. Cammies on my back with the cover raised up. Boot is hazed up. Just enough to phase up. Who you think you dealing with? It's time to blaze up. Got destroyers and cruisers. Carriers and amphibs. Enemies get the business so you know that they can't live. Frigates and subs. Make sure that the fam lives. Transport marines across the world to the sand rigs, the plan of the day. Set off cannons to spray. Heave the anchor to the bottom and the rails through the bay. Enemy is free, straight up, beat them to their knees. It's the U.S. Navy here to maintain freedom of the sea. We got the boots laced up, complete the mission by any means. Fully ready, one fight, yeah, we one team. Fight on land and air, on the sea. Fight on land and air, on the sea. Boots laced up, complete the mission by any means. By any means, fully ready, one fight, yeah, we one team. Fight on land and air, on the sea. Fight on land and air, on the sea. Boots laced up, complete the mission by any means. Fully ready, one fight, yeah, we one team. Fight on land and air, on the sea. Fight on land and air, on the sea.